From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Although his success in this pagan city was limited, Paul did see some significant conversions, such as Lydia and the Philippian jailer. From these small beginnings, a church grew, and in many ways had an effective witness for Christ. Writing from captivity in a Roman dungeon some years later, Paul manifested some concerns about the state of the Philippian church. Because of divisions in the church, the attacks of Jewish legalists, and the problem of antinomianism, many in the church were suffering, and some were involved in strife one with another. In the face of these things, Paul declared that the answer to all these problems was thinking through the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this study of Philippians under the title, A Joyous and Victorious Christian Life. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Day is at Hand. The text is Revelation 2, verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, what a blessing it is to see in Jesus the morning star. I remember when we read in the newspapers the idle tale that the Star of Bethlehem had again appeared. On inquiry, we found that it was only the morning star. But no great mistake had been made after all. It is best to see Jesus as the sun, but when we cannot do so, the next best thing is to see him as that star which prophesies the day and shows that the eternal light is near at hand. If I am not today all that I hope to be, yet I see Jesus, and that assures me that I shall one day be like him. The sight of Jesus by faith is the pledge of beholding him in his glory and being transformed into his image. If I have not at this hour all the light and joy I could desire, yet I shall have it, for as surely as I see the morning star, I shall see the day. The morning star is never far from the sun. Come, my soul, has the Lord given thee the morning star? Dost thou hold fast that truth, grace, hope, and love which the Lord has given thee? Then in this thou hast the dawn of coming glory. He that makes thee overcome evil and persevere in righteousness has therein given thee the morning star.
Shepherd will supply my need.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Is my gain. Chapter 3, he speaks of this. He says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said there was once I was gaining a lot in the world. I had prestige, I had position, I had learning. Just as a young man, it appeared he was already a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was a man who was marked for high position. But he said, what is that? What is that in comparison to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ? I have gained. People would have looked at Paul and said, Paul, you lost your money. You lost your position. You lost your popularity. You've lost everything. All you've got now, if you read as we did a couple of weeks back in 2 Corinthians, all you've got now, it's pain. You've been lashed, you've been whipped, you've been stoned, you've been left for dead, you've been shipwrecked. Now you're thrown in jail, you've been forsaken by your friends. You've lost everything for the sake of Christ. He says, no, no. I have gained everything, for I have Christ. There's an old hymn which says, in land or store I may be poor, my name unknown, my place obscure, but of this I have the witness sure. Oh, bless the Lord, I have Jesus. That was Paul's testimony. What a gain he had. But then again he rejoiced, because this gospel which held him up could not be stopped. The devil may put Paul in jail, but he couldn't put the gospel in jail. The devil may think he has stopped Paul's mouth, but it hasn't stopped God's mouth. Paul is saying, I'm suffering, but it doesn't change the larger picture. Christ is being preached. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he makes it very clear. He said, I'm bound, but the word of God is not bound. My suffering, if we will realize it, suffering doesn't change the gospel. Suffering doesn't change Christ. Suffering does not in any way hinder God from blessing us or using us. Now, he may use us by delivering us and bless us by delivering us out of that suffering. He did this for Paul for a while. Or he may bless us and use us by simply giving us grace in the suffering. But let us understand and let us enjoy Christ in the gospel. And that is the key to overcoming suffering. But then, secondly, understanding and thinking through the gospel is the key to overcoming strife. I've indicated that this was already that this was a problem beginning in this church. In chapter 2, you find that there's a reference to it. In chapter 4, I think this is a sad thing for Paul to have to write. Verse 2, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. They were at loggerheads. They were getting themselves into divisiveness. Now, it hadn't reached any great proportions, but if it went untouched, uncorrected, it would soon be like it was in Corinth. It's a terrible thing when people who should be the closest together on earth start to battle each other. That's a terrible thing. You see it in the church. There are people who won't speak to each other. It's not just that they happen to drift by a few weeks and perchance don't speak to each other. That's bad enough. I mean, it is a bad thing just to come and go from the house of God and never bother your head to take time with other people. But it's much worse when Christians deliberately avoid each other because they won't speak. I have known people to be in the same church for years, and they'd have died rather than shake hands. I've known people who have been greatly used in churches, and I think this is always the much more dangerous person. People who have been greatly used in churches, they have great spiritual talent and great spiritual abilities and potential, and yet they begin, possibly out of a sense of their own superiority, I don't know, possibly out of a fault-finding spirit, but they begin to criticize, they begin to find fault, they begin to gossip, they begin to read motives. They begin to attribute inward mental reasons for things that may be explained in very, very different ways. Before you know it, you have one Christian fighting another, one Christian talking about another. You've got division getting into the church. There is strife. Now let's face it. This is the easiest thing in the world. A church is a very, very difficult thing, in human terms, to put together. That's why it has to be done by the Lord. I've said this to you before, especially in a country like America. America is the great melting pot. Well, you find that a lot of the things that are put into the melting pot just haven't got to the melting yet. I've talked about the ethnic backgrounds. And I don't understand all this genetic stuff, but I do understand that it has a way of throwing back even years later. Some of you come from German backgrounds. I'm not going to say anything sarcastic about the Germans. Dr. Gingery and Millie Sen would not be happy with that, so I'm not going to say anything about the Germans. Some come from English backgrounds. The Lord help you. You got so near and yet you're so far. Some from Scottish backgrounds. I'm not going to talk about Brad walking around in his kilt, but he's from a Scottish background, at least he hopes he is. Then you've got those of us who come from the Promised Land, the Irish, the Scotch-Irish to be exact. What will we say about them? And a whole lot of other backgrounds. Now, you put them all in there. And there are differences. There are differences. The way the typical, if there is such a thing, the way the typical Irishman looks at something is very different from the way the typical Englishman looks at something. And that's very different again from the way the typical German looks at something. And if you go from Germany, as I did last year with Joan, into Spain, and then you'll see that the typical Spaniard, something absolutely different from everything else. We have all this in the melting pot. And we do have, by nature, things that tend in a different direction. It's not a matter of moral right or moral wrong. There are differences, and somehow or other, we rub each other the wrong way just because everybody doesn't do the things the way I would do them or I would like them done. Then you add to that your own background, your own family history, your own upbringing, your own abilities, your own likes, your own dislikes. Look, when you put a church together, it's a very difficult thing. There's so many things that would drive people apart. And what are we to do about it? What is the answer? Look, there's one answer that is given three times in this epistle in identically the same words. Now, I know that's redundant speech, but I want you to get that this is not something I'm reading into it. Paul carefully used the same little phrase three times. Chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 4, verse 2. He is saying, if I could give the words their literal force, mind the one thing. That's the answer. How do you deal with strife? How do you deal with ethnic divisions? How do you deal with people who want to major on color and ethnic background and culture and all the rest of that stuff that the world uses to divide one from another and should have no part in the Church of Christ? How do you deal with it? Mind the one thing. When you find yourself rising up against Christian, what should the striving parties do? Mind the one thing. What is the one thing? I put it to you clearly in the book of Philippians. The one thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's not just that you be agreed. This is not a psychological seminar in talking through your differences. There are times when you've got to do that. But Paul is saying, look, get away beyond those little things. Get to the bottom of it all. And when you and your neighbor are minding the one thing, you don't have time, interest, or energy to be fighting over other things. Mind the one thing. the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the call to the striving parties in any church must always be, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When the mind that was in Christ, the mind that took him from the throne of God down to the depths of Calvary's shame, the mind that let him suffer for the good of his church and for the salvation of his church, when that mind gets into you and me, I'll tell you, we'll not be riding our high horse. We'll not be demanding my rights. We'll not be saying, my feelings have been hurt. I demand, I insist. That's the kind of mindset that is not of God. It is the devil getting in among God's people then. We have adopted too much, even in the church, of the philosophy of the world. We take humility to be weakness. Humility is not weakness. Lowly-mindedness is not weakness. Turning away from some brother who demands a fight is not weakness. Putting a curb on the tongue and the natural reaction to such an attack is not weakness. It is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is the greatest strength that the church can ever know. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that be our guide. Let that be our guard. Let that overshadow all our dealings with all of God's people. And as we deal with each other, consciously applying the mind of Christ, consciously dealing with our brethren, first of all, as God has dealt with us. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We deal with each other as God has dealt with us. We deal with each other as God is dealing with the other. We apply the gospel. Think through the gospel in your relationships with your brethren, and that will overcome strife.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.